If you turn to John chapter 4 in your Bibles, John chapter 4, starting with verse 3 of John chapter 4, he, Jesus, left Judea and went away again into Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty, nor come all this way here to draw." He said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband.' For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. The fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." At this point, the disciples came, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek, or why do you speak with her?" So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" They went out of the city and were coming to him. This is a wonderful story of redemption, of Jesus with the woman at the well. We see a number of things here about the love of Jesus in our lives. In the woman at the well, we see that Jesus' love is relentless. I've heard a number of times the phrase, "The Hound of Heaven." It comes from a poem, a rather long poem, so I won't read it to you this morning. You can look it up on the internet. It's easy to Google. But Jesus' love hunts us down. Isn't it funny that we tend to run from the ones who love us the most? Jesus went into Samaria. Most of the Jews of Jesus' days would have detoured around that city. But the Bible said that Jesus had to go through Samaria. There was something that Jesus had to do in Samaria. There was one person that Jesus had to meet in Samaria. A divine appointment with this woman at the well. You see, there was hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. A lifelong prejudice inbred in those two nations. The Jews were pure descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had come back after the Babylonian captivity. Samaritans, because of the way the Assyrians years before had dealt with the captives, had transplanted peoples into the land of Israel. And they had intermarried with the Israelites that had remained there. And so they were mixed with other nations. They weren't pure. And so there was a prejudice between Israelites in Judah and those in Samaria. Jesus was a Jew. The woman at the well was a Samaritan. Jesus was a man. And she, of course, was a woman. And it was not proper for a man to talk to a woman, even in a public place. The woman was alone. And it was the worst time of day to get water. In that day, getting their water was a social activity that took place early in the morning. And the women would get together with their jars and come to the well and draw water together. But this woman was alone. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman responded, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." Where do you go in your life for comfort? Where do you go in your life for pleasure? How does that glass of cold water taste after a day of mowing the yard, or even a few hours of working out in your yard? It's been a hot summer, hasn't it? We've been blessed with good weather this summer and days that we could really enjoy, but they've been hot days. And after those days of working in the yard and you get that glass of water full of ice, I know I have a plastic cup that I use. I put ice in it and then I put water in it and take that first glass down quickly and then savor the second glass. But it's refreshing, isn't it? It's good to have a nice drink of water on a hot day. But too many times we go to wells that give us temporary satisfaction, without realizing the divine design of the thirst that drives us to God. We think that our desires are somewhat held back to us, sometimes by God himself. There's a Greek myth about a hero named Prometheus. Prometheus saw the gods had fire, and they held that fire as a special treasure. So being a clever hero, Prometheus stole the fire from the gods and gave it to man. It was just one of the things that the Greeks didn't understand that James would write about in the New Testament in chapter 1, verse 17, that all good gifts come from God. And God wants to fill our lives with good things, that he doesn't withhold those good things from us. It includes the physical water that we enjoy, but also the spiritual water that Jesus talks about here. We see in the woman at the well that the love of Jesus is intimate, that Jesus' love draws us into God's life. An interesting verse from the Old Testament. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. Marriage is to involve the whole person. There's an intellectual intimacy, an intellectual bond. There is a physical or biological intimacy or bond. And there is a spiritual intimacy or bond. And Jesus, with this woman at the well, says, this is an intimate relationship that I desire to have with you. Now, what does marriage have to do with a well? Well, in the Jewish mind, wells represented marriage. They were quite a romantic place. Remember in the Old Testament, Abraham sent his servant to find a bride for Isaac. And where did he find her? At a well. Rachel was found by Jacob. Where? At a well. Zipporah was found by Moses. Where? At a well. So in these early books of the New Testament, the Jewish people would understand that wells were a place to go to find someone very special. It's interesting in my family that my grandfather met my grandmother and she said, I'm sorry, but I can't date you because you're not a Christian. And so he decided right then and there that he wanted to find out what was so important in her life. So he went to the first meeting that the church had after he met her, which happened to be a prayer meeting, another type of well. They had six children, one of them my mom, and my grandfather would go out and speak at church services. And he went to my father's church, spoke at a prayer meeting, brought all of his kids with him, and that's where my dad met my mom. So I would say, if you're really looking for somebody, a good place to go is a prayer meeting or a church service. And that's where I met my wife, in church. There is a gift of water. Jesus gives us a living water. Water represents life. When we have this living water, we have more and more of it, so we can give more of it away. It's a living water. It's a well that doesn't run dry. It's a river that runs from heaven to earth. And all who enter receive that life that comes through the sacrifice of Jesus. Wells were important in the Old Testament. You know, we're fortunate to live in a place with plenty of water. Over the last few years, we've dealt with the PFOA, but thank the Lord, we do have an abundance of water. I especially enjoy the Grafton Lakes and the water there. There are some places in our country that don't have the water we have. When we go out and visit my daughter in San Diego, I can remember one time they said, oh, we're going to have a lot of rain today. And we decided to go to SeaWorld anyway. And I think we got more water from the whales splashing than we did from the sky. You know, and I noticed one time a little VW bug that was sitting out in front of my daughter's house. And they had the roof back the whole time that I was there, 10 days. And I'm sure they hardly ever put it up because it hardly ever rains in San Diego. And California has a problem with water. But in upstate New York, we have plenty of water. I think you can take a shower for as long as you want with no fines at all. But in biblical times, they had to dig wells or cisterns. And Isaac, Abraham's son, dug wells. And as he lived in the land, he dug a well, and other herdsmen came by and kicked him out and took over that well, and he called it Esek, which means contention. The second well, he named Sitnah. He dug the well himself and was driven away from it again. And so he called it Sitnah, which means enmity. And then maybe one word that we might know, Rehoboth, he named the third well because he said, at last the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land. God made a place for Isaac. Water is a blessing. We should be thankful that we have all the water we need. This woman had been married 5 times. She'd gone often to that well to meet that need, that deep need that she had. Through this woman at the well, we see that Jesus' love is demanding. If anyone who is married doesn't know that, you should. Marriage is a relationship, and this relationship requires a lot of work. Next year, Mona and I will be celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary. Aaron, how long have you been married?
4 years.
4 years. 1/10. Aaron would like to lead a conference here in the church a Friday and Saturday, and we'll have sign-up sheets out in a while, a marriage conference. He told me one of the reasons why he'd like to lead it is because when you prepare for something like that, you learn an awful lot about what marriage is all about. Whatever your topic is, if you study it, you learn about it. It's the same if you're a Sunday school teacher. You teach the Bible, that's when you learn the most about what the Bible is talking about. This woman certainly could use that conference. And I'm sure that Mona and I can use that conference. And of course, we'll plan to be there. But we need to be willing to invest in that relationship. You say, well, for 40 years, you know, we've been doing it. We should be pretty good at it by now. She rolled her eyes. We still have a lot to learn. Because in marriage, there's an intellectual commitment. And I think we probably could learn something from our Catholic brothers and sisters. They call marriage a sacrament. And a sacrament is considered a means of grace, a very high view of what marriage is, a gift from God that fulfills our lives. So one of the aspects is the intellectual aspect. I think that's probably one of the areas that we've maybe scratched the surface on in almost 40 years. There's also an emotional commitment in marriage, that we are to share that love that we have in all of the emotions that we have. There's a physical commitment or aspect to marriage. And there's also a spiritual commitment. If you want to know more, sign up for the course, right, Aaron? It's not easy to be committed to one person. It's a relationship that takes more than a lifetime to figure out. And aren't you glad? Because there's no reason to get bored, because you're always discovering something new about your spouse. Marriage is a well whose bottom is deeper than we can ever imagine. This woman had gone to the well for 5 times, and she'd given up on marriage. For her, the well of marriage had not met her needs, and she was tired of making that commitment. So the man she was living with, Jesus said, was not her husband. What are you holding on to? What is your well? If it's not Jesus, you need to make some changes. Nothing else will fill that God-shaped void in your life. Only Jesus. You can't even make your spouse, no matter how good your relationship is. You can't expect your husband or your wife to fill that spot that's designed to be filled by God. And the last thing we see is that in the woman at the well, we see Jesus' love is mission. If you experience God, he sends you out as an evangelist. The woman at the well was the first evangelist in the Gospel of John. Imagine that. She left her old water pot at the well. She didn't take it back with her, because she found something more fulfilling than that old water pot. There's a definition of evangelism. One beggar telling another beggar where there's bread. Isn't that a good definition? I know where the bread is. I know where the water is. Come and get some for yourself. Now, we had a pastor's meeting this past week, and we're talking about the changes that the pastors lamented in the time that they were in ministry. Most of them were older, as I am. One was about 30 years old. And for the most part, one of the things that they saw as a detriment to ministry today was the low view of marriage that people have today. And they talked about some of the things of the past, that you couldn't serve in the church if you'd been through a divorce. And I was preparing this message about the woman at the well. And I thought, here she had been divorced 5 times. And she was living with somebody. And she was the first evangelist in the Gospel of John. How redemption reaches into our lives and makes all things new. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've come from. When you come to Jesus, he makes everything new. He changes our life, and then he sends us out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we think of this woman at the well, and we think of your love for her demonstrated in the actions of Jesus. You are willing to step outside of the cultural boundaries of the day to give her the good news of the abundant and eternal life that you offer to us today. We often seek to find happiness in our own ways. We go to the wells this world offers to seek our satisfaction there, only to be disappointed again and again. We pray that you would interrupt our daily routine as you did this woman at the well, that you would show us that in you only can we find the satisfaction that we need. We need your living water in our lives so that we can be full and continually give away what we have been given. We thank you for the wonderful gift of marriage. We pray that you will grant us an understanding of all that you have planned for our marriages. Help us as we explore, understand, and benefit from the spiritual, intellectual, emotional, and physical aspects of our spouses. But help us not to see our spouse as our God. Help us to realize that they can never take your place in our lives. We pray that you will provide the ultimate satisfaction we need, that you will fill our lives with the living water of abundant and eternal life, so that we can share this life with those who don't know you yet. Like the woman at the well, may we talk to others about who you are in our lives. Bless us. As we do these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.